Okay, recorder's on. This is World Affairs Monthly, and I have Mr. Kurt Doolittle on the line. He's the founder of the Propertarian Institute, and that's found on the net at propertarianinstitute.com. Kurt, good to talk to you. And look, we did this first interview. We kind of introduced a lot of ideas, but I was just really thinking, hey, what is Kurt thinking about the Taliban managing to vanquish the biggest military power in the world, supposedly the biggest and most powerful? You know, 20 years ago, I and Patrick Seale, my friend Patrick Seale, he's a journalist, a British journalist, he's now dead, but he and I predicted that that the United States would lose, and it would take some time, and sure enough, 20 years later, they've lost, and we're retreating, and I thought, you know, what does Kurt say about this?
Well, I mean, as a historian, everybody knows this, right? I mean, never fight a land war in Asia.
Yeah.
Especially when, you know, you're fighting tribal people in hostile terrain with long, where, you know, you have to be concentrated, and they're all over the place.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, everybody's been had their ass kicked in Afghanistan. There's nothing special about us.
True.
You know, the problem is that since we made the post-war promise of, you know, guaranteeing the world's pattern of law, trade, and finance, law, trade, shipping, and finance. So the problem is that we have, as policemen, we can't do what you need to do in order to win a war like that.
Yeah.
Which is you have to do what our ancestors did, and
okay,
you have to pretty much eradicate everybody.
Right.
There's no win because there's no administration to topple.
Right.
So, you know, when you have a tribal society, and if anyone were to read, say, Van Creveld or you know, Keegan, you would come up with the same answer that historically, the West fights wars the way we think, but other cultures fight the wars they think. And so victory conditions and the means of conducting war are civilizational in nature.
Okay.
So we are Europeans. We try to have direct conflicts and solve something quickly, but we forget that we institutionalized war almost as ceremonial until the First World War broke it down again.
Mm-hmm.
So in the sense that you're fighting those people, I mean, you've got an endless supply of people, who half of whom have IQs under 84,
mm-hmm,
that have absolutely nothing else better to do and more fun to do, frankly, than ride around in pickup trucks,
mm-hmm,
eat rice and beans with a bunch of guys. I mean, for all intents and purposes, how many American guys would say, I'd rather spend most of my days hunting with the guys than going to work?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what they're doing, and it's,
yeah,
pretty rewarding for them. So I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
everybody knows this. I don't have any idea why anybody thought it would ever be any differently. But
well, that's the question. Yeah. What was going on?
The Jewish neocons got together, put this idea,
mm-hmm,
so together. So they tried Marxism, which is a monopoly of the underclass, right?
Right.
They tried libertarianism, which is a monopoly of the middle class.
Yeah.
They tried neoconservative, which is a monopoly of the upper class. But
yeah,
these are all versions of the one world order,
yeah,
that are the foundations of the Abrahamic religion.
Absolutely
so
correct. Yes.
If you take Europeans, or Americans in particular, who are decidedly Christian, and they have this ridiculous universalist idea, and you put them in a tribal society, they can't conceive of why it's impossible to win.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, why do you think the Jewish people are able to so easily dominate, the Christians?
This is the core of my work, right?
How did
one group and one group alone manage to institutionalize the female version of warfare,
yeah,
and conflict?
Yeah.
And, you know, you wouldn't have thought it would be possible, but it's only possible if you go inside a hosted company, just the way it's only possible for women to conduct their shenanigans within a civilization run by men. So they institutionalize the female method of argument, which is the same thing that mothers do. It's baiting into hazard. seduction. It's the same thing that girlfriends do, baiting into hazard by seduction. It's the same thing that women do to, you know, betas and alphas and everything else.
Sure.
They use seduction by bait into hazard, and they avoid the truth. So the Dem never take responsibility. They tell comforting false promises that aren't warrantable, and they and it sells. You can always sell free stuff, and that's what they do.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. The Christians...
It's different, you know, since I did the work on it. It's different because once you understand it, it's as plain as, you know, the nose on your face.
Right? Yeah.
You see everywhere, okay, women do it this way, and the Jews have turned it into a warfare method. Well, warfare is the right term, but in their sense, it's just undermining. But in the practical sense, when it's conducted against your institutions of cultural production, then it's just war. It's war by slower means than wars of physical violence, but it's still war.
Now, Joe Biden said that we didn't go into nation build. Now, I guess, you know, he's an old guy and he's, kind of out of it, but, you know, he's not that out of it. Did he really believe that we didn't go in there for nation building? Or, you know, obviously there was a debate.
How many times has Joe Biden just said what was pragmatically necessary for the Democratic Party?
Yeah.
I mean, nothing else has ever come out of his mouth.
That's true.
You know, if the press did their job, it'd be hysterical how many times it's flopped on nearly every subject.
Yeah.
Did we go in? We went in to punish the Taliban, and the only way to keep them under control was to do what we did with Israel in the Middle East, which is try to set up a decent government so that the Taliban wouldn't be able to create another base and use it as a basis for terrorism.
Yeah.
Well, so, you know, the answer is there's only one way to fix that, and that's we have to mine or irradiate the entire landscape.
Okay.
You know, to prevent them. And since nobody's going to do that,
right,
we killed a whole bunch of guys and spent a lot of money to form a fence around a problem, because there's no way you can tame the wild animals inside the fence.
Well, the Jewish people have promoted this idea that we can go into Syria and kind of do the same thing. And, of course, they failed because Mr. Putin bailed them out, right? I mean, what about Syria? Is it in contrast?
You can't fix a South Eurasian population because the problem's demographic. That half of your people are below 85.
Yeah.
That means they can't hold, they can't do the most menial job.
Right.
Right? We have like 12 or 15% of our populace that's in this condition.
Yeah.
They have more than half.
Yeah.
So if you combine superstition, sub-X IQ, and that culture, you're going to get what you get there. There's nothing we can. I mean, the right answer is the Chinese, which is they built a wall to keep out the Iranics,
right?
Which is all right, and we failed. We had the Mediterranean and the Bosphorus, the Black Sea, and the Caucasus Mountains, and we should have done the same thing that they did because you can't. It's a demographic problem.
Yeah, yeah. And fundamentally, it is. Yes.
Right, because it's a demographic problem, you get the behavioral problem, because that kind of demographic has to have a certain kind of way of cooperating with each other, and the way they have this incredibly authoritarian religion forces them to be highly ritualistic and makes them irresponsible for nothing. They're not responsible for anything, and you give them that, and that is. And you give them tribe and family, and that's all they're going to devote their energies to. So we've known this.
Yes.
You know, we've known this. It's this Christian Jewish, you know, crap that just gets us in this position every time.
Well, you know, the Pale of the Settlement Jewish people, Ashkenazim Jews, came over in 1880. And I think, you know, a couple of million of them, and stopped in about 1920. They've come over to the United States, and they've basically taken over everything. Now, is that because the general?
It wasn't that. Well, they were fine. You know, it's the post-war Jews.
Okay.
So the pre-war Jews were doing pretty well at integrating But by the time you get into the 1920s, I know people in the, I know Southern Jews who had a Christmas tree. It just had 6-pointed star on it.
Yeah. Okay.
So those people, you know, used to joke is what's the difference between a Jew and a Presbyterian?
Okay.
There isn't one.
Okay.
And so it's really the
post-war. So you're saying post-World War II?
Right. They came over. Those people had bought into we need to win. We need to destroy white people and white civilization. This is the new homeland in America.
Right. Okay.
We'll finally be free. They brought the, and then what they brought with them is they brought with them the failed, their new religion, which was socialism.
Yeah.
And they brought with them the Frankfurt School, and the Frankfurt School's really what did it.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
There, and then the French, of course, they did the same thing in France. They had the postmodernists in France, whereas they had the neo-Marxists here. So, it's not that clean a break, but the influence was more that direction. So, they just came here with the explicit intent. They wrote it down. They said what they're going to do, and they did it, which is to undermine or destroy the institutions of cultural production.
Yeah.
And laid out their plan.
Now, Kurt, I agree. It's pretty obvious, and they did it. But why has it been so easy? Now, mostly farming type folks.
Because we're Christian. Because we're Christian, which is why I'm always on the Christian.
Okay.
They try to talk like they're manly, but they're not.
Hmm.
They're responsible. They're good peasants.
Yeah, they're good peasants. Okay.
But they're not.
You think the IQ is too low here in the United States to deal with these Jewish Ashkenazim?
Well, no, it's just. For the minute you put, which cardinal said it? Can't remember which cardinal said it. He says, You get a television means a Jew in every living room.
Mm-hmm.
And he meant that as someone who was selling decadence.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so the minute you let them into the universities, into mass press, they're going to do that because lies sell.
Mm-hmm. Lies
and
sell,
so if you look at what they specialize in, they specialize in false, unwarrantable promise.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you look at every industry, which is the work I've done, the industries they favor are those that are unaccountable,
mm-hmm.
allow you to profit
from
false promise, and they're with unwarrantable things that are extractive and rent-seeking.
Absolutely.
And they're in all of them.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And so they go into those to profit from it, and they go into the talking industries because they have an aversion to productivity, which you'll find humorous So, it's just, you say this, and I come to the conclusion after, I'm talking too fast here, but you come to the conclusion rather quickly that, if you've adopted the female strategy, and because of your inbreeding, your selection process,
mm-hmm.
you've nearly reversed cognitive dimorphism, the difference between females and males, and so that you've produced this female incentive cognition.
Mm-hmm.
We forget that that's a natural thing. You don't have to learn it.
It is natural, yes.
So
yes, you're right. It's female. Yeah, absolutely correct, Kurt. It's really brilliant.
And so you have to think of it this way. We are male elites. We are the world's male elites, and they are the world's female elites.
Yeah.
And we're in the only country that allows a competition between elites.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. We're
True.
The only civilization that tolerates competitions between branches of elites.
Mm-hmm.
There's only three, and we're the only one that allows that.
Mm-hmm.
So what have they done? They took advantage of the fact that we allow competition between elites. We are the only civilization that grants self-determination by self-determined means, which means that you're allowed to, nobody's protecting you against making bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
What do? They create every potential opportunity to profit from or undermine via baiting people into hazards.
Yeah.
So there's no protection in our government and our laws.
No.
There's no protection in our culture. There's no protection in our religion.
Yeah, we're just entirely vulnerable. Yes, yes.
We're entirely vulnerable to their means of warfare. So I mean, the problem is, even though we've even domesticated warfare.
Yeah.
We domesticated male warfare, but we let Jews into the country and women into the voting population and into the workplace and whatever, without putting laws in place to protect against the female method of warfare.
Right. Right. Oh, absolutely.
So
yes.
50,000 years domesticating men, and we put women out there, and women have been the responsibility of fathers, you know, brothers, fathers, and husbands. Mm-hmm. And they were the ones that were held accountable for taking care of the fact that women are, you know, this idea that women are good is only an 18th, 19th century English idea.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, throughout history, women are the troublemakers.
Well, they're potentially dangerous.
Well, they undermine,
you know, because they're mothers, and they can have the power of giving birth. It's pretty powerful,
well,
Kurt, right?
You know, you're thinking about, you're again, that's a 20th century idea.
Okay.
You know, they just get, you know, you're going to have 12 kids and you're going to maybe have 5 or 6 survive.
Okay.
If you're lucky, you'll have, if you're unlucky, you'll have 3 or 4.
True.
That's just, it's not a miracle of birth.
Okay.
Women killed more of their own babies in history than men have in all the wars in history.
Yeah. Okay.
So don't think women are all virtuous, which is what's going on now.
Mm-hmm.
Is that they're not. They don't know that what they're doing is undermining.
Mm-hmm.
They feel it. Mm-hmm. Women feel, they don't think. They may think, but what they think is to just try to explain to themselves why they feel. Well, the same thing with the Jewish strategy. They're just behaving. Some of them, you know, just as I understand world strategies, European, Jewish, I mean, Chinese, I understand world strategies because that's what I worked on.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the problem is most, you know, and so that means there's Jewish leaders that know exactly what they're doing. But on the other hand, most Jews are just going along with what feels right to them.
Mm-hmm.
Just like women go along with what feels right
to
them.
Yeah,
do women vote for a president because of they like him or not, instead of whether his policies are any good? So, I mean, there's men who do it, but like it or not, but by the bias is just what the stereotype says, is that women don't think they feel. And when you're talking about children, that's useful. And when you're talking about politics, it's not.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
no,
I mean,
doubt.
So,
no doubt.
Yeah, my thing is, I don't want to blame them. I just want to make it so they can't do this anymore.
Right.
By putting policies in place that extend our prohibition on fraud in commerce to economics and politics.
Now, how can we do that when they control everything in the government? I mean, they pretty much do control everything. So, how, you know, we're just like completely captive.
You know, I'm sorry, but the FBI has told me to be very careful what I say.
Oh, okay.
They're worried I'm going to inspire somebody to become a shooter or something.
Oh, no, that's ridiculous. No.
Right, right. I mean, but
no, you're not going to inspire anybody.
Is our ancestors, our founders, produced what we call the Declaration, but it's a common law suit against the state. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can produce a common law suit against the state. Well, that's the output of my work.
Yeah.
That is all the remedies we need in order to end this war and to prosecute though anyone who objects to that correction.
Well,
so
wait
a minute. You gotta.
Yeah, go ahead, Kurt. I'm sorry. You there, Kurt? Kurt, you there?
Hello.
Yeah, you there?
I'm here.
I couldn't hear you for a while. I don't know what happened. You there?
I'm here.
Okay, good. No, I was hearing you. I just wanted to propose a thought here. You know, I got off the phone with my friend Ari Ben-Menash, earlier in the day, and I did 2 interviews with him. He's a great guy. Now, he's a Sephardic Jew, born in Tehran, and he was working for Israeli military intelligence in the 1970s and 80s. Now, he's Sephardic, and I've found that that Sephardic Jews really are not...
just the Ashkenazi.
Yeah, they're not Ashkenazi, and they're not going to necessarily be a problem. He's a great guy. Now, he won't talk to me again. You know, he said, Tom, I can't talk to you. Now, So I don't know exactly why, but I think it's probably because the U.S. government threatened him, or, you know, or the Israeli government threatened him. You know, he could be killed if he talks to me again. Now, he admitted that, Jeffrey Epstein, was Israeli military intelligence. And I got it recorded, you know, and so it's up there at monitoringrisk.com, so you can listen. But, you know, this is what we're facing. I mean, poor guy Ari won't talk to me anymore. Now, he may talk to me in the future, but I don't know, you know. So he's a good guy, perfectly fine man, telling the truth. And
well, I don't, it's the same problem as the gay thing. Once we found out that it's not choice, it's an inner utero birth defect, a developmental defect. It's basically like left-handedness, mm-hmm. right? It's just a developmental thing. It's always going to be there, right? And once that's, then you can't really blame people for it.
No.
Right? It's the same thing with understanding women and Jews. Once you understand that they don't know what they're, you know, mm-hmm. dogs do stupid things and so do people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and, you know, so, I mean, it doesn't really matter that we get mad at people and play this moralizing game. Mm-hmm. The answer is it's a really simple problem to fix legally. You need a certain kind of improvement in the law, which is mm-hmm. what I do, in order to make it so that it's in court. But once it's adjudicable in court, you can write law down and you can mm-hmm. say, okay, mm-hmm. and it's not like it's an imposition on a freedom of speech.
No.
Because I can't yell fire in a theater.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things I can't do. And I can't sell things that aren't true, right?
Yeah.
That could lead to harm, right? And so I can't likewise teach in the academy, promote in politics, or try to pass a bill that violates the same laws of possibility mm-hmm. of fraud.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're selling the false promise.
Yeah.
They're telling, you know, they're telling, they've converted from, you'll have life after death and all 21 virgins and whatever it is. And when it's all crap.
Yeah.
But the answer is that they've done is convert life after death to life after revolution to life after white people.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same promise.
Mm-hmm.
It's unwarrantable, and all they produce is decline.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we hadn't had Christianity, we wouldn't have had, the Romans would have recovered their culture, but mm-hmm. the Christians went around and destroyed. I mean, Christians destroy statues. They're burning church. I mean, these guys are destroying, not churches. They're destroying churches. They're destroying statues. They're claiming our law is merely arbitrary. They're saying that our culture didn't produce all the goods it did. You know, that we didn't drag humanity out of kicking, screaming in ignorance, out of ignorance and poverty.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we did. And yeah, you know, you look at the places that were colonies, and they're way better off than the places that weren't
mm-hmm.
because they were colonialized. So that's just the reality of it.
Mm-hmm.
So they go off and tell all this stuff to people, and it's just a freaking fraud.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Well, they're just like Christians. Remember, the Christians in the ancient world were just Jews. So they're just doing the same thing they did here, the same thing they did in Spain, the same thing they did in Germany, the same thing they did in England, the same thing they did in Ukraine, the same thing they did in Russia, and they brought it here. Why? Because women undermine.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they exercise their will.
Yeah, so it's really effectively, like you said, a female strategy of you know, how do you deal with a male? Well, that's the way you do it, and it's a bait.
What you do is you prevent the coalescence of power among alphas. You prevent the male feeling like he can have victory. You do what they call shit testing, right? To do that, you are not loyal. Women are not loyal. They're devoted, but they're not loyal.
Mm-hmm.
And that the economics of those two states, the behavioral economy of those two statements is really fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll find all these traits in the Jewish behavior.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's not. Some of it might be learned. I mean, the pill pull is learned. In other words, how to lie, cheat, and steal is part of their law. But, I mean, the fact that they want to undermine
mm-hmm.
the feminine nature of their behavior, the high increase in homosexuality,
yeah.
the high levels of neuroticism, these are all female traits.
Yeah.
So, of course, we're going to have female behavior come out of selecting for men who can who are verbally acute and using concentrations of genes to do it. Mm-hmm. So it's fine. I mean, it's not a problem, except we're so vulnerable to this particular method of warfare because, mm-hmm. realistically, we let our women do stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And jumping back to, fascinating, Kurt. Now, jumping back to Afghanistan, what do you expect to happen now? What would you, if you want to predict, what would you say is going to happen?
Well, I think, first of all, who cares?
Yeah. Yeah, good point. Yeah. Good question.
No, we don't. We're done. The only reason we needed the Middle East was, in the post-war period, was to maintain the world oil supplies so that the developed world couldn't be held hostage by oil prices like
yeah.
what you said.
Yeah.
Right? That was the only reason.
That's true.
The only reason to put Israel there is to support Israel, is to give us an enormous
outpost.
Military
yeah.
to make sure we could.
Military outpost, yes, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
So what do we got now? Russia is going to supply Europe with all its gas and oil. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then Germany and Russia are going to come together.
Mm-hmm.
The powers are going to be France in the Mediterranean and Russia across the top.
Mm-hmm.
The Muslims are going to go on killing each other.
Yeah.
And eventually somebody not nice like us will do what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Like
yeah.
the Chinese. The way the Chinese look at it is, and you can see their maps, is that they believe it's all theirs, even India.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, Kurt?
The Chinese believe Central Asia is theirs.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Right? They some of them even believe India needs to go away and be a Chinese
yeah.
colony.
Okay.
So, I mean, the Chinese don't have our odd predisposition against punishing religious groups that are dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
They have no problem with it.
Now,
so
I'm sorry, Kurt. Why do you think the Chinese really, have that kind of intention in Central Asia or even India? What evidence do you have of that?
Because that's what they do. They're like the Borg. They just do it slowly.
Mm-hmm.
So they've conquered 9 countries. They're going back to conquer more. They'll overextend, collapse back, and beat the process.
Okay.
They're good at it.
Yeah.
So they're good at it because they're not tolerant. See, the problem, again, our problem is Christianity.
Yeah, Christianity. Yeah.
The problem is orthodoxy isn't bad because it's national.
Mm-hmm.
But Christianity, as we practice it, is extra-national. In other words, it isn't about the nation.
Mm-hmm.
So if we were to convert to orthodoxy, that would be a different story.
Yeah.
But, fundamentalism, as we understand it, it's an American invention.
Mm.
And that's like going to be a quarter of our population for God knows how long.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to be any different. And mm-hmm. I mean, I talk to them, and I naturally love them because they're good peasants.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the problem is that they're useless.
Yeah. Yeah. They are useless. Well, you know, occurs to me, I remember, and I'm probably you're well informed, and I'm sure you'll know this, but I remember reading that Edward Gibbon made an argument that four things undermine the power of Rome. And the four are, I just happen to remember, the four are, number one, I don't think he ranked them, so they're all just kind of equal. Number one was the elite started plundering the wealth of Rome, of course, for their own little, stuff. And they wanted the wealth themselves, so corruption or whatever you call it. So, and number two, you had a very high expenditure for military operations on the frontiers, defending the frontiers of the empire. Number three, I think you really have a very large entity that gets so large, perhaps that you really can't pay for it. It's become pretty difficult to manage and pay for. And number four, Christianity.
he's
pretty interesting.
The number of books written, of course, he's right partly. The problem is the plague the plagues had a...
Oh, yeah. Well, that was his opinion. I think those are the four main ones he argued.
Right. But, I just want to get something in here.
Yeah.
You got to think of think of people, right? But part of being Christian is thinking of people are equal when they're not.
Yeah.
And so I think in a distribution or a pyramid. That means there's only so many people above 140, which is necessary to do anything smart. Mm-hmm. There's only so many people above 130 to actually manage anything. And there's only so many people above 115. So if you expand your society rapidly, especially the bottom, mm-hmm. and you go out and conquer a bunch of people,
yeah.
conquering all people is really profitable until there's no one else to conquer.
Yeah.
And the problem is there weren't enough Romans to administer it.
Yeah. Okay,
and
good point.
And so, you have all multiple kinds of overextension. You know,
yeah.
policing the seas is trivially cheap because that you have water. But mm-hmm. policing forests, especially German forests, is hella expensive.
Yeah.
So, they never, as far as I know, they never made money off of England.
Yeah, I see. Yeah.
It's always a loss. Mm-hmm. So,
and that was because it was what too far away, or what was going
too
on?
Too far away, too much investment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe
the fierce resistance as well.
Right, and then this is before the age of sail, which is what, and so the money to the Middle East was always predicated on what we call the Silk Road, but was really the Muslim trade routes,
mm-hmm.
and before that, the ones that preceded those.
Mm-hmm.
So those trade routes were able to bring tax. It's sort of like being the mall of the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when we hit the age of sail, we collapsed the Middle East marketplace, and then they had to be producers, and they couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, then we're out, but in the meantime, Rome, they go over there, and the Persians are like, hey, we're keeping this money here.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're fighting over that trade route, dividends. The Greeks and the Persians exhaust themselves, and the Muslims come in and destroy both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
to a historian,
especially an economic and military historian,
yeah.
everything is obvious.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
It's just absolutely obvious.
Yeah. Well, but Kurt, back to Afghanistan, I don't mean to dwell on it, but, blowing nearly $1 trillion over there is not trivial, right? You would agree. It's kind of pretty damn foolish.
It's money. It's not real money.
I see. Okay. So you don't think it financially hurt us?
No.
Okay.
I mean, what hurt us was paying attention to them instead of China.
Okay, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
It's all costs or opportunity costs. We would have spent the same money dealing with China, but we'd be in a better condition.
Now, okay, give me your views on China now. So in other words, we're focusing on the Middle East foolishly, and meanwhile, China is building up its capabilities quite rapidly and impressively. And here we are now realizing, oh my goodness, what do we do? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, there's nothing we can do, really.
Yeah.
The thing that they've got is they're going to run out of population and growth before they can get the rest of the poor people out of poverty.
Okay, sure.
They're already running out of population because their demographic collapse is on the doorstep.
Okay.
But that doesn't, that you know...
So
you
gotta, an aging population is
right.
hurting them,
by
yeah.
By the end of the century, they're only going to be half billion of them.
Yeah.
Right, so you got to think of it that way. It's the same problem all of us face.
Yeah. Sure.
So the here's the problem we face, right? We're getting dumber. You know, when he was still alive, I talked to Lynn. He said, Lynn. And we talked quite a bit, and he said that, as far as he can tell, and, you can't measure it perfectly, but we're about a standard deviation dumber as a group than we were in 1800.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, didn't catch a name when he was alive. Who is this now?
There's this Flynn in IQ, and there's Lynn in IQ.
Okay.
I'm talking about Lynn.
Okay. Yeah, and, so the IQ is dropping, obviously. Yeah.
When you drop, it's getting way worse.
Yeah. Well, more babies are born, and there's less pressure on the population, so-called Darwinian pressure.
What matters is who breeds.
Okay, sure.
For a long time, we suppressed reproduction at the bottom and pushed reproduction upward.
Yeah.
Right? And then we reversed that.
Yeah. And that's been going on for almost 100 years now, probably, yeah, right?
Almost. It's going on 200 now.
200, okay.
So 170 or 180.
Okay.
So the problem is that, you know, here's a way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Japan has, 130 million people, and we have 330-something, right?
Mm-hmm.
The smart fraction is all that matters. People hate it, but, you know, I'm sorry, you know, it is a bit of smart guy myopia, but the data is data.
Mm-hmm.
Japan has as many smart people as we do. Yeah, think about that.
Mm-hmm.
They have X percent of our population, 60% of, and they have 40% of, and they have the same number of smart people.
Okay.
Now apply that to China.
Yeah.
So that means that they have what? Four times our number of smart people?
Yeah, probably.
Can't win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it throughout history, it was never that valuable to be smart.
Yeah.
There would be some people be smart, but the best value of smart people was that they were pretty evenly, just not evenly, but pretty well distributed through the population.
Yeah.
So that everybody could get to a smart neighbor, a smart uncle, a smart business leader.
Mm-hmm.
Today we're all filtered, so no people, like the average guy, is an idiot today.
Yeah.
And he has access to people who aren't idiots.
Right.
As the idiot people he can get to have been sold the big lie.
Mm-hmm.
We call it Island on 120. It's the people who think they're smart but aren't.
Mm, yeah, typically, yeah.
The educated, the maleducated.
Mm-hmm.
In any event, so the face is. There's no way to win.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's well. You know, I've probably told you I'm 62, born 1958. Just in my lifetime, I have seen a decline in intelligence here in America. You know, and also Europe. I mean, it's mind-boggling.
Yep.
Just in my lifetime,
this youngest generation is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, they're. It's like we've gone back to having medieval peasants.
Yeah. Yeah. So how you know what and by the way, I'm sure you know this, but I think it was Napoleon Bonaparte who said that said something about China. He said, you know, don't awaken the Chinese giant, you know, right?
So yeah, but you got to remember, China has been incredibly unstable throughout its history.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The thing they had going for them in the past is that rice is a way better crop than wheat.
Yeah.
Right? All right? And rice is a better crop, and they have these freaking enormous rivers that are started in Tibet, which is why they want to conquer Tibet.
Mm.
And so, you know, they've had a food advantage.
Yeah.
And
you're right about that. You're right.
Their geography means they're virtually an island like England.
Yeah.
And so, or Japan. And because they have nothing but deserts and mountains around them on all sides.
Yeah, physically isolated, yes.
Right, and so they've got this walled garden that produces a lot of food. You know, that's different from being, let's say, Egypt, right? But all you got to remember, all these civilizations failed. Neither China nor the Middle East never did anything after 800.
Yeah.
We could have had the Industrial Revolution by 400.
Mm-hmm.
We lost, you know, what, 100, you know, 1,400 years.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened all that time for nothing?
Mm-hmm.
So, and all the suffering for nothing. It's not like, you know, the Dark Ages weren't dark. That's not really true.
Mm-hmm.
The Dark Ages weren't horrible. right? And there were some pretty good times to live in them, especially between about 1100 and before the plague.
Mm-hmm.
So there were some great times to be alive, but we didn't evolve at the pace we had in Greece and ideas and Roman administration.
No,
right? We didn't.
Yeah,
there was no reason not to. So, you know, I look at it as these people are bringing about another dark age, and
we don't have
a demographic reserve of Germans to help us.
Yeah. Well, I tried to hint this to you last time, but I believe very much that there are cycles, and maybe I think, pardon me if I get you upset, but you were saying, Tom, we can do something about this, and I said, well, I'm not sure. You know, it's inevitable, and we're
no, it's not inevitable.
Yeah.
So every
explain you know, your argument then.
Okay, so you know that comes from everybody, but the best and most recent one is Carol Quigley.
Okay.
Who put this together, I think, in the
sure.
It was late 50s, early 60s.
Yeah.
But he described the seven stages. He says, Europe never gets to the late stage before we reform ourselves.
Okay.
So the question is, we would reform ourselves right now except for the immigration and the Jews.
Yeah. Okay.
So what our problem is, we're having the same problem the Romans did. The Romans couldn't reform themselves because of Christianity and immigration.
Right.
And expansion.
Excuse me.
What we have now is we can't overwhelm ourselves because woke is just woke is just Christianity too, just like
it is. Judaism. Well, but what about this falling IQ though? Kurt,
falling IQ is pretty serious. On the other hand, it doesn't mean you can't keep a demographic group of elites that are still moving forward. But if those people can't rule, if you have underclass rule, they actually will give up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what maybe it's like what the DuPonts did and all the rich people did after when the communists came over.
Mm-hmm.
The communists made it embarrassing to be wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
That was Jews. They made it embarrassing to have wealth. But that's how our civilization worked.
Mm-hmm.
You would work hard in commerce to get a position of wealth, and people would imitate you,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So what are people imitating now? They're imitating doing nothing and nihilism.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's so exasperating.
Yes.
And this is what happens if you let enemies in your midst.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I went to South Africa back in the mid-90s, after apartheid collapsed, and it was pretty obvious. I was talking to Boers, Afrikaners, and it's pretty obvious. I remember I talked to the mayor of Windhoek, the capital of Namibia, and they were all pretty much convinced that doom and gloom was ahead of them, and of course they were correct. And I remember many of them just said, well, these people that are taking over are not going to be able to maintain this high civilization that we built up. And sure enough, that's true, right? It's yeah. So I mean, it's same things happening in the United States.
Yeah, no, it's here. The problem is it was done here on purpose, and we'd be fine.
Oh, yeah, we done it on purpose. Yeah.
It was done on purpose.
But Kurt, it's this arrogance that we can. I read some quote from George Bush's 2003 or 2006. No, probably 2006. About what's going on in Afghanistan at the time, and George W. Bush was convinced that we were winning, everything's going to be great, and foolish guy.
Well, again, just like I said, just like they went from Marxism to neo-Marxism to postmodernism to political correctness to woke to anti-white to white replacement, they went from Marxism, in other words, that's the populist wing. They went in the institutions from Marxism to libertarianism to neoconservatism, right?
Yeah. Okay.
The West is really simple. Unless you understand our strategy, it's so simple. It's that you may not have power.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yeah.
Right. You must demonstrate. So we just had this beautiful system worked out where we had direct access to power, we had direct access to talent, we had all this beautiful social system worked out, and the between the idiot liberals, and I mean the sense that the liberal meaning the the well-intended fools, not the ones who are, and the leftists, they've sort of produced this, you know, fantasy that you can manage that the rules of family and classroom scale to nation and world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just, again, it's typical female thinking. How many times have you seen women say, well, this is what works here, but that's because you can feel it,
mm-hmm.
but you can't, and you can govern your reactions to people,
mm-hmm.
but at any scale, that doesn't work at all anymore. It's like the same people who think that the world economy or the national economy works like a business or your personal checkbook. It doesn't work like that at all. They work by opposite mechanics entirely. It's completely counterintuitive, which is why, of course, economists will say, well, economics is actually a specialty and knowledge doesn't transfer from one part of the discipline, necessarily transfer from one part of the discipline to the other, any more than, you know, the gravitational physicists are different from the, you know, anyway, I don't want to get into
okay.
that.
Okay, yeah.
You know, The knowledge doesn't transfer. But the problem is you have all these liberals walking around with, you know, the overconfident idiots.
Yeah.
With liberal arts degrees, which
yeah.
is basically a degree in secular religion,
mm-hmm.
and coming around thinking they're smart or something. And
yeah.
they're not. I mean,
yeah,
you
no,
can't
no.
calculate
yeah.
it and engineer it and make it work and provide warranty for it. You're just another fucking idiot.
Yeah, yeah. yeah, that's right, Kurt. Well... Look, it's been 45. It's been 45 minutes. It's really exciting to talk to you, and I appreciate it. I'm grateful, and you know, in a month or so or whatever, I'll give you another call, and we can further elaborate on this. It's really wonderful, Kurt. I agree with you, and
I enjoyed it. Always. Just want to say, Afghanistan doesn't matter.
Oh, I think you're right. I think you're right. I think there's a lot of truth in that. It's just another humiliating moment for the United States and all these people who thought they could do something. Right. That's all I'm saying. But
no,
I agree.
It's not humiliating. It's a lesson.
Yeah, it's a lesson.
It's
yeah.
Lesson Christian.
Yeah.
It doesn't fucking work.
Yeah. No, it's a joke. It was a joke, and it remains a joke. And you're right. It's really kind of irrelevant. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
All right, love you, man. Have a
all
good
right.
day.
All right, see you later. Bye-bye.